Tonight, I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about how do you get free from the power of sin. Now, Father, I thank you, God Almighty, for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. You said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And so, God, help us to know the truth. Make it simple for us. Help me to say it simply. And I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I know there's probably a lot more to this than what I'm about to share with you this evening, but it has worked for me. And I can only share with you tonight from my own experience over the years of how God has spoken to my heart and how he has set me free. You know, sin is best described, one of the best descriptions I've ever read in one of the commentaries is it's a diseased condition of the soul. Sin is something that was imparted to the human race when our forefathers, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden, fell to the lie of the devil that they could be as God. They could live independently of God. They could make the choice of what's right and what's wrong and somehow not suffer a consequence of it and still arrive at some utopian end at the end of their lives, which would be an entrance into eternity. That apart from God, I can be God. Apart from God, I can have victory. Apart from God, really, essentially, I can be God, my own God. And that's what sin is. It gets into the heart of a person, and it causes us to think and act independently of God. The reality is that sin cuts us off from God. For the scripture says that the wages of sin is death. If sin becomes a part of your life and my life, as it will without the intervention of God into our lives, then it pays death. It is always paid the same. The wage never changes. It's not only death to who we really were created to be as a person on this earth, but it's death to an eternity with God. We are cut off from God. Thank God tonight that the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not suffer this eternal death or should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Not willing to lose us, God came to the earth as a man, walked among us for 33 years, then went to a cross and took upon himself the full penalty, the full weight, the full punishment for all the wrong that we had done, how we had offended God, how we had slighted God, how we had attempted to be God without God. In our ignorance, had disobeyed God, somehow thinking there was no consequence to it. And so many of us come to the saving knowledge of God through Jesus Christ. But by the time we come for forgiveness, and the moment you open your heart and say, "Jesus Christ, you died for me. You paid the price for the wrong that I have done." The moment we do that, the Bible tells us conclusively that God receives us. And the blood that Jesus Christ shed, his own blood on that cross, literally covers, it blots out the writing that was against all the things that we have thought and done are put away. Sin is dealt with. Its penalty is gone. We are received as sons and daughters of God, and then we're given a promise that if Christ now be in us, because when we received Christ as our Savior, the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of God, literally comes and takes up a physical residence within our earthly bodies. And we are changed by the mercy of God and the power of God from the inside out. It is truly a miracle. It is not human effort that changes us. It's the power of God inside of us that changes us. But by the time many of us come to God, we have become entrenched in behaviors, ways of thinking. As Vivian shared tonight, the ways of responding to things. Ways of, as Andre shared, ways of viewing ourselves. How we see ourselves. All of these things are the result of sin. And it can become an overwhelming thing for somebody who does believe in God through Jesus Christ to say, how will I ever change? How will I ever get out of this? Is there a practical way to the change that God promises us? Now, through the prophet Jeremiah, the Lord spoke about his own people. And he said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of good and not of evil, to bring you to a desired end. Now, God says to you tonight, I have thoughts about you. You think a certain way, but I don't think about you that way. Remember, almost everybody he encountered in the scriptures, he would call them by another name. This is what you are, and this is what you will be. God says, I have thoughts about you to bring you to a desired end. It's a place that you and your heart long to be, and it's the place that God says, I long to take you to that place as well. But also remember that God said through the prophet Isaiah, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. And so the bottom line is that God will give us the power to be free from the disease of sin, but not necessarily the way we think it should be done. He does it differently than we think. Now think, for example, with me. You don't need to turn there, but I want to share with you a couple of examples. In the Old Testament, there was a man who was the captain of the king of Syria's armies. He was a man of reputation. He was a man of valor. He was a man of strength. He was a man of glory. He was a man of wealth and prestige and power, but he had a problem. He was a leper. Now, in the beginning, it started as something little in his life. The disease of sin, as well as physical disease, always starts as something small. It can start as a spot on your skin before it literally begins to overtake your body and destroy the essence of who you are. You never thought when you stole that first penny that it would lead you to embezzling from your company. You never thought that telling that first little lie to your mother that, well, I really didn't take that cookie, would lead you to sitting in a bar and spinning this wild tale about where you've been and all the things that you've done. You never thought that sin would become the monster in your life the first time you touched drugs that it actually became. You never thought that that first little peep at something you shouldn't have looked at would lead to a breakdown and a destruction of your marriage and your home. You never thought, never fully understood the wages of sin is death. It always starts out as something small, but then it grows. And then it becomes unmanageable. And then it becomes visible. Then you and I begin to, when we're apart from Christ, we begin to morph into something we never intended to be. As Vivian shared tonight, how we become angry people when in our heart we don't want to be that way, but it's becoming what we are. And rather than diminishing with our best efforts, it's actually increasing and becoming worse. And I can see this man Naaman as he looks in the mirror every day, and the leprosy is increasing. And it's obscuring all of his accomplishments, all of his accolades, all of his power, all of who he thought he once was is now being literally overpowered by this death that is at work in his body. And that's, many people have a wonderful facade on the outside, put on their best clothing, go to work, but at night look in the mirror and they know there is something overpowering their mind, their character, something they hate, something they don't want, and it's beginning to obscure. That's why so many turn to the bottle in secret. And Naaman got a report that God could heal him of his leprosy. And he received this word, and he came to the house of a servant of God, as you did tonight. You've come to this house. And we stand in this pulpit, those who have testified are servants of God, those who have worshipped are servants of God, and those who speak to you tonight are servants of God. And he came, the scripture says, with his horses, with his chariot, and he stood at the door of the house of the man of God, whose name was Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger to him and said, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will come again to you, and you shall be clean. Go and wash in the Jordan. That was the word. And the scripture says, Naaman was angry and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place where I am sick and cure me of my disease. And many people come to the church like that. I'm just so tired of this. And so I'm going to go to Times Square Church on Sunday night. And I'm going to wait till the pastor gives the altar call. And I'm going to come and he's going to wave his hand over me. And suddenly my lying tongue is going to become a tongue of truth. And my lustful eye is going to become something that is just taken with the glory of God. And my violent temper is going to go away. And he was offended because it didn't happen that way. He was offended because the man of God just gave him a word. Go to the Jordan and dip yourself in the Jordan seven times. You see, he was a man of stature and a man of report. And he had come in his chariot, probably a dozen white horses pulling this thing and a whole entourage behind him. Don't forget, he's leading a whole army of a country. He doesn't come alone. He comes with an entourage. Scripture says he came with gold and silver and fine clothing. He wanted to more or less buy his way into a healing and into freedom. And I can see him pulling his chariot up in front of Elisha's house and expecting Elisha's going to come out and do things the way he wants them to be done. Because he's a leader. He's used to giving the orders. But now he's not in that position anymore. You see, when you meet with God, you're not giving the orders anymore. God doesn't do it your way. You know, I think of the people tonight that you came out in your BMW and you put it in the parking garage, or you drove in your Volkswagen Passat or your Subaru if you're from Denver, and or hybrid, and you parked it and you come in and you're standing tall and your reputation is intact and you're sitting in the sanctuary tonight and you're saying, now, there's coming a moment where the man of God is just going to wave his hand and everything's going to be fine. And you see, I can deal with this in private. And I don't have to be humbled in the sight of a holy God. You see, that was Naaman's problem. He didn't want to be humbled. He wanted to still retain his position. He didn't want to get out of his chariot in front of all of the people that were with him. There would have been a huge entourage with this man, probably 150 people and soldiers and traveling with him, and he would have had to get out of his chariot. The Jordan is a muddy river. He'd have to go into this muddy river. That's when he was offended. He said, there's nicer rivers where I come from, and you want me to go into this thing? And he'd have to dip himself humbly seven times in that river. And so many people come to a church like this and wait for the magic moment. And that's why so many just keep coming to the altar. You come to the altar every Sunday. I see some come every Sunday night for salvation. You only can get born once, and you only get born again once. But they're waiting for the magic moment. But they won't go to New Believers class. They won't dip themselves in the Jordan. You see, that's the problem. That's why people don't get free. They're coming to God on their own terms. We don't come to God on our own terms. Many people don't want to go into New Believers class because they have a master's degree, a bachelor's, or a PhD. And so I don't want to be found among people who don't know anything, because I know lots of things. And they don't want to step out of their chariot, and they don't want to humble themselves, and they don't want to sit in the fourth row with 80 or 100 other people who really don't know that much about God. Maybe they've attended church for many, many years and have a pride of knowledge, but it never led to a conversion. It never brought them to a place of freedom. But there's still that pride in the heart. And so they come to the church as Naaman did. And when they get a word from God, go. Yes, believe the word that God gives you, but go to New Believers class. Dip yourself in the Jordan. Open this book every day, 7 days a week. Read a chapter out of your Bible. And the promise was, your flesh will be cleansed. You'll be changed. The disease in your body will be eradicated. Not the first time, not the second, not the third, not the fourth, not the fifth, not the sixth, but the seventh time. The seventh time. God's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. He humbled himself, even though he went away angry. One of his servants went after him and said, listen, if he'd asked you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? Why not just do this thing that the man of God is asking you to do? And so he did, thank God. He pulled his chariot up beside the Jordan. He would have taken off his robe of battle that he wore, taken off his military helmet. It's a sign of humbling himself in the sight of a holy God and stepped down into that water. And seven times before all the people begin to acknowledge that God's ways are higher than my ways. I will do it God's way, and I will trust it as I obey God that he will cleanse me and turn me from my sin. I thank God when I came to Christ, one of the first things I did was get into New Believers class. I still had a problem with my temper. I still had a marriage that was in trouble. I still didn't know how to be a father. There was all kinds of things in my life, but I obeyed God and I went into New Believers class and I started to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and I would read it with tears and I would begin to believe it. And I found as I went and I began to read the words in this book, they began to be part of my thinking. And I found that the power of sin in my life had been broken and all things had lost their hold and all things were becoming new. Line by line, step by step, little by little. I would like to have had it change in a moment. Everybody would. We're an instant society. We want instant gratification. We want instant knowledge. We want instant everything. But it doesn't work that way all the time. Some people do for some reason. I never did. I've been a plodder all my life in walking with God. Just one step in front of the other, one foot in front of the other. Read this Bible and say, that's true. I want that. It belongs to me. I believe that God's going to give me that. And set out and simply walk humbly before God, acknowledging that I don't know it all and I can't change myself. But I will humble myself in the sight of a holy God, and God will change me. God will give me the grace that I need to be the man he's called me to be. He'll take away this heart of stone that I used to have and give me a heart of flesh. He'll help me to care about people. He'll help me to care about my family. He'll help me to care about the lost. He'll help me to change into what I see I should be. But I will never be in my own strength. I will only become that by the grace of God. I want to suggest to those who are coming to this altar every Sunday night, for the sake of God, will you just go to New Believers class? And once you get into New Believers class, you'll begin to change. Humble yourself in the sight of God. Make the effort. Pull your chariot up on Friday night. Put it at Howard Johnson's or wherever that hotel is down there now. Come around Broadway. Go to the third floor. Get into New Believers class. Level one and level two, ask all the questions. Don't pretend you know it all. There's nothing worse than being in a place and pretending you know and everybody knows you don't know anything. And then in the Gospel of Luke chapter 17, there were some lepers that came to Jesus. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Now, this is the moment where you begin to hear from Naaman heard from the servant of God, but there's a moment where you begin to hear from God himself. Jesus, from his word, begins to speak to your heart. And he begins to send you on a journey. And he essentially, what he told them was quite astounding, really, because they'd already, when you became a leper under Old Testament law, you had to go to the priest. And it was actually the priest that declared you to be a leper. And you didn't come back unless you were healed. The second time you came back and said, hey, God has healed me, or I've been healed of my leprosy. And then they would examine you, and if you were clean, they would take the sacrifices of the two birds, kill one, dip one in the blood, set it free. A type of the cross, without any doubt, a type of the cross of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said to these lepers, before they were healed, go and show yourself to the priest. In other words, go and testify that you're healed. Before you even have the manifestation of that healing. I remember one night I was laying in bed at home and I was in tears. And my wife said to me, what is wrong with you? And I said, I'm reading in the Bible about the love of God. We heard it tonight from Andre. The love of God that casts out fear. The love of God that I'm supposed to have for God himself and for my neighbor. The love that God feels to me. And I said to her, but you don't understand. I was raised in a kind of a vacuum. And I don't have any idea what this feels like. It's only words on a page to me. I don't know how to love. I don't know how to receive love, and I don't know how to give love. I'm empty inside. And I don't know how it happened to me, but it happened, and that's just what I am. And I never forget her words to me. She prophesied. She said to me, before you die, She said, at the end of your days, you're going to be known as a man of such love. It's going to be the testimony of your life. God is going to do something in your life that only God can do. And it was a word that came to my heart right from God himself. And I took that word and I began to walk with it. And that's what these lepers began to do. They had a word from the mouth of God himself, and they began to walk with that word. And that's exactly what happened on the day of Pentecost. 120 people came out of an upper room, and they were supernaturally speaking. In the Greek, it's called the megalios of God. And it really means the anticipated outworkings of the new inner life I have of the Holy Spirit. And technically, they were talking about what God was going to do. How he was going to change them. How he was going to use their lives. They simply found themselves in agreement with God, and they began to walk in agreement with God. Even before they saw the manifestation. None of them had had an opportunity to do anything at that point. But they had a testimony of what God was about to do through their lives. The penalty of sin had been broken, and now the power of sin was about to be demolished. And they were about to become new creatures in Christ Jesus. The scripture says, as the lepers were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And folks, this is exactly what you will do one day, as I do every day. You will come back to God and you'll say, thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for what you have done in my life. For I was hopeless. There was no power in me to change. But I chose to walk humbly before you, and you gave me a word, and I walked in that word, and I believed that word. And if anybody were to ask me, I would say, yes, this is what sin made me, but this is what God said I'm going to be. And I believe what God has said. And the scripture says, while they were on that journey to testify, they were healed. I can't tell you the day and the time. I didn't, except for when I was set free from fear. Most everything else, I don't have a time. I don't have a day. There wasn't a divine moment. It just, I just realized I was different. Yeah, I had changed. My responses would be different. The way my heart would feel would be different. And there's a sense of awe that comes into your heart because you realize that only God could have done this. Because I never even set out to do it. I set out simply to believe God. I took him at his word and said, Lord, if this is going to happen, it's going to be you that does this. And now I've come back to give him thanks and to rejoice in his presence. I am 60 now. Been walking with God since I'm 24. And my days, I'm not trying to be morbid, but my days are drawing to a close. The next, I might have 15 years to go. I'm not afraid of this. I'm not afraid for God even to tell me. It doesn't really bother me at all. But I want you to walk where I have walked. I want it with all my heart. I want you to know the victory that I've known, and I want you to know it's for you. It's not just for the few or the talented or the... If you see what we are today, it's only because God has made us into that. You have to understand. If you saw me back when I was 23 or 24, you would go, whoa, man, that guy's never going to preach the gospel and certainly never going to love anybody. I used to say to my wife, when I got saved, the Lord said to the angels, look away, it's easier to believe. I want you to know this. Because the victory, I have experienced victory, I've walked in victory. But it's not a victory just for a few. It's not just for an elite. In the Old Testament, it was that way. In the Old Testament, it was the occasional prophet and priest and king who would receive this touch of God. But the wonder that was revealed to the prophets is there was a day coming when all people would know this touch of God. All people would be given the power to live a transformed life. All people would become a testimony of the mercy and the grace and the goodness of God. All people could be free from the power and the penalty of sin. All people, not just a few. You. It's truly amazing, the life that God gives us to live. I feel sometimes like I want to explode with praise inside for what God has done. I was sitting at the table at home on Thanksgiving Day and thinking of what my life would have been without Christ. There would be no table, there would be no children, there would be no family, I guarantee you that. I was too selfish. Nothing would have survived around me. But I'm looking at what God has done. And my heart is filled with gratitude. And it's filled with longing for you to know this victory. I want to say it to you simply. I'm going to tell you to do what I did. Get a new believer's class and open this book. And get a word from God. See what God says, who God says you are. What are the promises for you? These are not for somebody else. They're for you. This is God's letter to you. This is the one who created the universe by speaking. Put his words in a book. And these words have the same creative power in your life as they did speaking to the universe. Speaking to darkness and causing light. Speaking to nothing and causing life. He has that power. The only one who can stop this from happening in your life is you. Simply because you choose not to believe that God is who he says he is. We're living at a pivotal moment today in history. Because I believe that Christ is coming soon. I want you to know who he is before he comes. I want you to be walking in victory and in the power of God. And this is not some pipe dream. I love the fact that the testimonies tonight were so raw and so honest. Ordinary people with ordinary struggles, with prayers that we would not think were highly spiritual, but God answered all of them. And met everybody from every angle they were coming from because they simply wanted to know who he was. And they wanted to be able to walk in the victory that he offered. And he met them. And tonight he wants to meet you. I would love to call to Christ tonight every person who needs to walk humbly before God. Everyone who needs and is willing to admit, I can't get rid of this disease of sin in my life by myself. I can't be free in my own strength. I need the strength of God. Everyone who's been unwilling to make the effort to walk with God. You've settled for driving to church or taking the transit and coming to church on Sunday, always hoping for the miracle. But you're unwilling to walk in the practical. Go to New Believers class. I want to suggest tonight, if you're not willing to do that, don't come to this altar. If you're not willing to be taught, if you're not willing to walk humbly before God, if you're not willing to be dipped in the Jordan, if you're not willing to open the pages of this book and be instructed in the ways of God, don't come to this altar. Because it's just an exercise in futility, and it will lead you to an eventual disillusionment. And the wrong thinking that God's not able to change your situation. When he's not asking the miraculous of you and I, he's asking us to make an effort to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. I want to give an altar call tonight for those who are willing to take the promises of God and say, these are mine. And begin to confess it with your mouth. Don't be afraid in the workplace of saying, yes, I have been an angry person. But by God's grace, I have a promise here, and God is going to change me. And you begin to confess it, and as you're on that journey, suddenly the cleansing comes. The power of sin is broken because the word of God has taken preeminence over the root and power of sin in your life. You will be free. You will become what God has destined you to be. Some of you will preach the gospel. You don't believe that tonight, but you will preach the gospel. Some of you, God's going to do something so powerful in your life. You're going to be like this leper. You're going to come back and suddenly you're going to be compelled. You're going to stand in the subway. You can't handle it anymore. You've got to tell somebody what Jesus Christ has done in your life. You say, well, somebody, please listen. If you're looking for hope and help, I know where it can be found. And you'll tell them honestly what kind of person you were and what God has done in your life. God will do the miraculous in you if you and I are willing to meet him on the ground that he's willing to meet us. That's where it all begins. And that's where the power of sin is broken. Don't look for some mystical moment. Come and look for the practical. Receive the cleansing of your sin by the faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on Calvary. But then, by the grace of God, begin to walk in this. And say, Lord, guide me, lead me. Don't let me continue to walk by my own thinking. Don't let me try to cling to my own sense of self and my own reputation. And don't let me confess defeat when you've given me victory. Let these promises. When I first got called to preach, folks, I'm telling you, I'd be so scared. Even though I was delivered from the oppressive power of fear, it was a whole other thing to start speaking in front of people. But I had a promise in my heart. I would accept every invitation that came my way. And people would be waiting in the room for me to speak, and I'd be in the bathroom almost sick. And I would be quoting, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. Therefore, I am not ashamed of the testimony of God, but I will be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And I would come out of that bathroom and I would get on that platform and the anointing of God would hit and people would come to Christ. Hallelujah. It's been an awesome journey. It's been an incredible journey. Please, in the name of Jesus, take that journey. Take it now. Glory to God. It is an awesome journey from image to image and glory to glory by the Spirit of God, from strength to strength and place to place and hope to hope and help to help and promise to promise. It is an awesome journey when you walk with God. It's awesome just to get out of unbelief and say, this is what I was. Yes, I agree with that, but this is what I'm going to be tomorrow. I'm choosing to believe God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Don't live in sin when you can be free. Don't live in mediocrity when the power of God can be yours. Don't live in discouragement when you can live in faith. My God, for the sake of Christ, it's time for you and I to stand up and be the people of God. Be the church of Jesus Christ. Be the people that God's called us to be. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory, glory, glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Here's my altar call. It's very simple. I'm stepping out of darkness and I'm stepping into light. I'm not walking in darkness. I'm not walking in sin. I'm not walking in mediocrity. I'm coming to Christ for the forgiveness of my sins, and I'm coming to the fullness of God that my life might be everything God has destined it to be. And I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to be sold short. I'm not settling for just coming to church once a week in my chariot. No, 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 no. I'm going to know what it is that God has for my life, and by God's grace, I'm going to walk in victory. Victory is mine. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. If that's in your heart tonight, you want Jesus as your Savior, and you want to know the freedom from the power of sin as well as its penalty, I'm going to invite you to come to this altar, and I'm not going to wave my hand over you. But I'm going to pray for you, and then you're going to new believers class. Then you're going to begin to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. You're going to get a word from God, and you're going to begin to confess that as the higher reality in your life. Not what you are, but what you will be. What God has made you into. What God has promised He's going to do in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. If that's what's in your heart tonight, let's stand. Would you come? Would you join this gentleman who's already here? Everybody who wants what you've heard tonight, you want victory. Victory from the penalty, victory from the power of sin. Just step out of your seat right now and make your way to this altar, please, if you will. And we're going to pray together. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you. Just come as we sing. Hallelujah. Thank you. Praise. Just pray this prayer with me, those that have come to this altar tonight. Lord Jesus Christ, I open my heart to you, and I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died for me to pay the price for the wrong that I have done. I believe that you did it because you loved me. I believe that on the third day you rose from the dead as proof to me that I too will be raised by the power of God from the death of sin. Death has no more power over my life. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. From this day forward, lead me and guide me and teach me about the victory that is mine. Give me the courage not to turn back when there are days when I don't understand what you're doing in my life. I believe that you will be faithful to me until the day I die. And when I do, you will take me home to heaven to live with you forever because I am forgiven. Help me to live a life that will bring honor to your name and show others that you really are God. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Now guide me from this day forward on my journey in Jesus' name. Now let me pray for you. Father, I do pray for those that have come. God, you take us right where we're at. You take us with all of our baggage and all of our struggles, in all of our failures and all of our wrong. And you wipe the slate clean when we trust that you died in our place. And then you promise us new life. And so, God, I'm asking you in Jesus' name for new life for these men and women who have come to this altar tonight. I'm asking, God, that every one of them would find the full potential of what they were created by you to be. That you would deliver every man and woman from what sin has done in their lives and bring them into this new life, this new relationship, this new joy, this new future, this new hope that you freely give through Jesus Christ. God, help these men and women not to turn back. I ask you to seal them with your Holy Spirit and give them the determination to not give up and not give in. And Father, thank you, Lord, that you will be faithful. And one day they will get old, and one day they will say to others, I would to God you could follow me as I have followed Jesus Christ. I wish you could know what God has done in my life and experience it for yourself. This will be their testimony. I prophesy that. And I do it in Christ's name, that this will be their testimony, that one day they will get old and say, I wish to God you could follow me as I have followed Christ. Amen. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that you will be a testimony through them to their families and their friends and all who have known them when they see such an incredible change by the Spirit of Almighty God. I thank you for it, and I praise you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.